Well, good evening, everyone. It's time to start our worship service. And I'm going to ask everyone to stand, as usual, if it's convenient for you. All hail the power of Jesus' name. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Faith looks up to thee. Tears away, Lord, let me
My heart sings a brand new song. Word is true. Have you ever felt like with your earthly father that right at a certain point that perhaps wasn't true because they were doing what was right for you and best for you instead of what you wanted at the time. I think there might have been a few times in my own girls' lives that they might have felt that way. I remember a few times that I hurt their feelings because I was making some decisions that I thought was best for them, and they didn't think it was best probably at the time. We had a deal at our house that if a young man asked one of my girls for a date, they had to go through me. They had to come and talk to me. And in one of those talks, the young man never came back. And one of my girls was a little disappointed in me, thought it was my fault, and probably was my fault. I remember a few incidents where they thought I was being a little rough, and but this song is always the truth because He loves us. And so there may be times we're going to talk about the storms here after a while. It may be in some of those times of storms that we might think, Lord, You could change this. You could make this different. You have the power to heal. You have the power to make this totally different. Sometimes God chooses not to. One incident in particular I remember, and the girls were learning to drive. That was always a real hard time for me. It wasn't so much for Gwen. Because when it looked like something was getting ready to happen, Gwen would put her hands over her eyes. One of us had to be alert to see what was getting ready to run over. But Suzanne, our middle daughter, had just gotten her driver's license, and driving my pickup back from Little Rock, she and I together, and this is her first time driving on the interstate, and boy, she just scared me to death just about it. But she would go past a car and jerk right over in front of them, and I'd scream, and we did that for 100 miles home, and with me trying to explain to her not to come back in so fast and don't run it up real fast and then slow up with the cars behind you and different things like that. Anyway, we were into it pretty good by the time we got to the house, and I noticed when she got out of the truck, she slammed the door, and I said, are you mad? And she said, yes. And I said, me too. But it didn't last long. And I'm sure right at that time, she didn't think I was being the best father. But God is always the best. He's always good. His goodness reaches beyond what we can see. And because He can see in the future, He does what is the best for us because of His deep, deep love for us. And it goes beyond anything that you and I can recognize. I'm going to be finishing up the storm in Acts 27. But there's two verses that the Lord really spoke to me, well, was special to me. The old boy said, "You mean you heard God speak audibly?" He said, "Oh, it was a lot louder than that." And two verses I want us to look at tonight, and you'd think, well, now, what in the world does that have to do with the storm? But I want us to perhaps see the connection before. I just wanted to share the verses, okay, whether it has a connection or not. So two verses. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians, the second chapter, 2 Corinthians, the second chapter, and look at verse 14. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. Now, we don't always feel this way, but when the Bible speaks, it's true. God's word is truth. So this is always the truth, no matter what our feelings are. Feelings will fool you. They'll fool you. What you feel one day may not apply to the next one. So feelings, we cannot go on feelings, we go on faith of what the Bible teaches. Our feelings will trick us. But look at verse 14. "Now thanks be unto God, which most of the time," are you following me? Did I get it right? Didn't get it right. Well, you need to call my hand when I don't get it right. I believe that that next word is always. Now, the best I can figure, that word always means always. Not most of the time, but always. "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us," actually causeth is what the King James says here, "but he causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place." Always causes us to triumph in Christ. So our victory is not in our feelings. Our victory is not in the circumstances changing. Our victory is always in Christ. Our victory is in Christ. In the midst of the storm, our victory is in Christ. Now, one more. In the book of Psalms, Psalms, Proverbs, Psalms 35. Look at verse 27. "Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servants." Now, if you were a part of the health, wealth, and prosperity group, you'd think that prosperity that he's talking about is monetary prosperity. Not necessarily, and probably not at all. I think that whenever we read the scripture and we understand the mind of God, that it all has to do with spiritual things. As we grow spiritually, the prosperity, when you read the scripture, the man who is prosperous Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's prosperity in Psalms 1. It talks about the man whose children are sitting around his table like the olive plants. It talks in Proverbs 31 about the faithfulness of the wife, and that is prosperity. And so it's a spiritual prosperity, I think, that he's talking about here. Peace. Okay, thank you, Richard. That's a good definition. Bring peace in our lives. Okay, I want us to get over and finish up now in Acts 27. And we're on point number 3, what really matters in the storms of life. Look at Acts 27 and verse 9. Let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word. Now when much time was spent, when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. You can be seated. We need to be cautious in the midst of the storms that we go through, where we get our advice. Paul in verse 21 says, you should have listened to me. After they got into the storm, the Lord had laid this on him that they should not sail. But as you read on into the scripture, we come to a place where the sea becomes calm and there's a soft breeze blowing. And so the captain is looking at that. What is he looking at? What is on the captain's mind? Well, he's got a cargo to sell. He's in it for the money. And so here is this centurion, and he's listening to the man of God on this side. He's listening to the man of business over here on this side. And I think that if you and I will do what we should, we would always listen to the man of God. Not what might be prosperous as far as business is concerned, but what would be prosperous, as Brother Richard said, what would bring peace in our life. God wants us to have peace. He listening to the man of God. Well, Paul had already been in a shipwreck. We talked about that this morning, how many things he'd suffered. Didn't he say 3 times he'd been in a shipwreck? He knew. Well, man, when you get in a shipwreck, you got trouble. I notice semi-trucks, the old veterans are cautious. If you notice their driving, they're very cautious because they've been doing it a long time and they know how terrible a wreck can be. They'd been there before. In verse 20, the Bible says, when all hope is gone, when you can't see the sun or the stars, you can't navigate, not in Paul's day. When Jesus is all we have,
we discover that he's all we need. When Jesus is all we have, we discover that he's all we need. Now, in the depths of the storm, he's what we have. I want to say he's all we have. There's storms that you cannot depend on other things. You can't depend on your finances. You can't depend on your education. You can't depend on your family sometimes. You can't depend on what you know. But Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He is always there in the midst of the storm. And we would do good to realize that when Jesus is all we have, we discover he's all we need. So let's look at what happened in the shipwreck. What was taking place? Do you and I, in the midst of a storm, need to lighten our ship? Verse 18, they began to throw the cargo overboard. Verse 38, they threw out the wheat. They were trying to make the ship lighter. They were trying to save the ship in the midst of the storm. All at once, the cargo was not important. When they were making the decision about putting out to sea, and Paul had told them not to put out to sea, and the captain said, no, we're going to put out. We're going to go out to sea. And the centurion was obviously the one in charge, but he listened to the captain rather than to Paul. And the wind blew softly, the sea was calm, and they put out to sea because he was interested in saving the cargo. That was a big deal in his life. But in storms, in real storms, cargo loses its importance. It loses the value that we set on what that is worth. I've used Roy a lot of times as an example. When we lived here in the parsonage, I would see Roy on runs down the road, and he would run down to 412 and turn and go, I don't know how far that, but almost on a daily basis, he ran. He was a very healthy individual. He and I are about the same age. Had a severe heart attack. And Roy and I were talking about the heart attack. And he said something that I never will forget. I believe that he and his wife would have been considered successful people as far as the world is concerned. But he said, it changes your entire perspective on life. You decide on what is really important. And so I want us to finish up our time here talking about reevaluating our priorities. In a storm, those things we once thought valuable suddenly seems worthless. Alfred Sosa observed, and this is how he explained life. He said, for a long time it had seemed to me that life was about to begin. Now, real life, that is. You feel that way? But there was always some obstacle in the way, something to be gotten through first, some unfinished business, time to still be served, a debt to be paid, then life would begin. At last it dawned on me that these obstacles
were my life.
David Jeremiah said he received a birthday card that said that life was the journey. The joy is in the journey. The joy is in the journey, not making this accomplishment or not getting to this goal, but in the journey that goes to that goal. Paul said, I press toward the mark of the high calling. The journey that draws us to that goal, it's in the journey. The joy is in the journey. It's what we're doing right now. There's things that are negotiable, and then there's things that are non-negotiable. Time is negotiable. We can go to work at 8, or we can go to work at 7 or 10. Time is negotiable. We could start our services at a different time. We've changed some things in the last few years about when we start services. And time, we can negotiate time. Now, if your boss says to be there at 7, be there at 7, not 5 minutes after. So that might change some situations there, but time, what is taking place there, is negotiable. Relationships is non-negotiable. Mike Dishroon is my friend. But if he rides his bicycle down the side of my old Chevrolet and takes paint off with the handlebars as he goes down, should I put an end to our friendship because of that? Have you ever wounded a friendship because of something that you thought was precious that someone else didn't think was precious? That was actually negotiable? But you didn't see it as negotiable, maybe, or I didn't see it as negotiable, perhaps because of our way we felt right at that time, when the relationship was much more important. I have wounded some friendships because of saying something that came out of my mouth that was actually should have been negotiable on my part, and it wounded a relationship with myself and someone else because of something I said. And some of those I won back through some hard work, things that I thought was non-negotiable actually were negotiable. Family and friends, those relationships are not negotiable. You can't, but because of the way you feel, you cannot wound those relationships or separate those relationship, because I believe in God's book it's non-negotiable no matter what. Location is negotiable. We can have church here. We can have it outside. We can have it at the house. We can have it on a hillside somewhere. We've had it under the pine trees, Pine Grove. We had it on a concrete slab. One time we had it under a carport. We had it in some people's living room. We've had it in a tent before. It's negotiable. God's calling on our life and the truth of His Word is non-negotiable. So when we have a person that believes this way about the Scripture and we believe this way about it, and so what do you do about wounding that relationship? Well, you stay with your stuff and trust the Lord and be firm on the Word of God and still love the individual. Retirement is negotiable. Health. Those aspects of our health we have no control over. That's non-negotiable. We can't change some things. When things we grow older, we get sick. Sometimes our children get sick. There's some things that are unchangeable about health aspects. And so is death. We can't negotiate that. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. We have an appointment with death in our life, and that's non-negotiable. So when we get in a storm of life, we need to come to grips with what we can throw overboard and what we can't throw overboard. We can't throw overboard our relationships. We just can't throw it overboard. And in the midst of a storm, even when we are the one that is in the storm, we can't throw those relationships overboard. All these other things are just cargo that won't mean anything in a few years. I listened to Chuck Swindoll's wife give a testimony about wishing that her mother-in-law would have traded her knickknacks for a relationship with her grandkids. But because these knickknacks were so important to her, she would not have her grandkids in her home. She traded that for relationship. We need to be cautious that we don't do that. We need to be cautious when Mike's down the side of your car with his bicycle, that you don't say something that you can't take back. Now, he's never done that. I don't even know if he can ride a bicycle or not. But I have had it happen to me because of something that a child did, I think I wounded his spirit because of what I said to him about taking the paint off the side of my pickup with the handlebars of his bicycle. And if you and I are not cautious, we'll do that in our relationships. That we need to be cautious. Our children, our grandchildren, our nieces and nephews, and all this inner circle that we have, we can say things that would keep us from bearing witness of the Lord Jesus to them, because we're going through some kind of storm in our life, and instead of pitching the cargo over, we've counted the cargo as being the most important thing. Save the cargo no matter what, and do injury to other people's lives. Let's stand together. Brother Roger, would you dismiss us with a word of prayer?